Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing enjoying the holidays without spending a dime.
Yeah, Joel, there are so many different reasons for us to spend less money around the holidays, and there are many different ways for us to do that while still enjoying the holidays. I'm excited to talk about this episode with you. I'm only sad, though, that we don't have hot chocolate here. I'm sad that we don't have Christmas music playing in the background. I feel like those things would be help us to get in the spirit a little bit.
Do you have a go-to Christmas album, Matt?
I feel like the classic is like the Mariah Carey Christmas album.
That's my wife's favorite.
Is it really?
It is.
But personally, I'm a big fan of that five-volume Sufjan Stevens Christmas album.
That's like
collection.
It's the indie hipster classic.
It's so good.
It is really good. Yeah, I agree.
Do you have a favorite?
Man, that's up there for me. The Sufjan one. That's kind of what I go to a lot during the holidays. But I like some old school classics as well. Some of the old carols. Some of the old hymns. Like
Bing Crosby. Yeah. Some of those. White Christmas soundtrack.
Yeah, I think
Christmas album.
Emily tells Alexa to play like a Christmas classic station, and that always works out well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we got a lot to get to on how people can enjoy the holidays without spending too much money, especially as we get closer. We're less than 3 weeks away from Christmas now,
wow.
Which is it's hard to believe. But before we get to that, you wanted to talk about some homemade stuff you're doing in your kitchen?
Yeah, so in the notes I put ACV, and do you even know what that stands for?
No, I'm assuming it's you're up to no good.
Because I didn't, because I saw it on my calendar, and I was like, what is strain ACV? What the heck is that? And it stands for apple cider vinegar, and it's something that Kate has stuck on the calendar. Back in the fall, we went to an orchard, an apple orchard, and we picked a bunch of apples, came back with like multiple bags of apples from North Georgia, and we did a little baking one day, and we had a bunch of cores left over, and I was getting ready to toss them out, but Kate is incredibly resourceful, especially in the kitchen, and she looked up this recipe, man, to make your own apple cider vinegar, and literally all it takes are apple cores, sugar, and water.
Oh, wow.
So you take that and you have to make sure you submerge it, right? So there can't be any apple like sticking up out of the water. Otherwise, it'll mold. But then the apples in the water, it starts to ferment. And you make your own naturally fermented, spontaneously fermented apple cider vinegar. And I am so stoked to try it. We actually haven't tried any of it yet. So that brings up the question, is it frugal or cheap to make your own fermented, I don't even know what you would call it, like drink or food?
I mean, if people are into it, that's great. I think especially some people just love, like your wife loves being in the kitchen. She loves cooking. She loves probably straining her own apple cider vinegar, right? Like that's the kind of thing.
Get the apple chunks out of there.
Yeah, she gets jazzed about that kind of stuff. Me, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't as much. So yeah, for me, it would probably be cheap. I'd be trying just to save money while doing something I hated. But for other people, it's frugal because it's a labor of love. It's something that they enjoy. And at the same time, they can save money doing it. So, I know some people make their own beverages. Some people brew their own beer. And that's great. It's just not something I'm into. I prefer the store-bought variety.
I mean, my biggest concern, though, is the fact that this is something that sat on top of our fridge in a jar, like open air, like she put a cloth over it to keep, flies and stuff from getting in there. But otherwise, I think as Americans, it's weird when we see something that sits out for that long and then we think, oh, are we going to eat that? Is that something that's going to go inside my body? And so I'm a little bit nervous there, but it's no different, I think, than kombucha. Like that's not something that we've ever created ourselves.
Or lambics that are made in Belgium.
I trust a lambic from Belgium where there's been somebody that has done this for, millennia. It's been in this family where they've brewed it.
It's still so interesting when you go and you tour one of those Belgian breweries that has what they call, it's called a cool ship, and they're huge. They're the space of a room, and they put the beer in there, and it's open air, and there's spiders, and there's things like bugs whizzing in and out, but it's
all a part of the terroir.
Yeah, it's the most delicious tasting beer at the end of the day. And so I don't know, man, I think maybe your terroir of your ACV is going to be delicious.
Maybe it'll be good. Yeah. I'll post the recipe if folks are interested in giving this a shot, because I really was surprised at how few ingredients it took. But yeah, we'll make sure to put that in our show notes. And on that note, Joel, that was a good transition as we were kind of talking about the beer a little bit.
I did want to say you are the Martha Stewart of personal finance podcast hosts.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. Does that make me the Snoop Dogg? I don't know.
Well, on that note, let's introduce our beer for this episode. We are enjoying an Owl Theory. This is by Fieldwork Brewing Company. And Tim actually sent this one our way. We actually participated in a wellness webinar that his company hosted a couple months ago. And obviously, we talked about personal finance. But I'm looking forward to us both enjoying this beer, and we'll talk about it at the end of the episode.
Sounds good. All right, let's get on to the subject at hand. We're talking about enjoying the holidays without spending a dime. And for many of us, Matt, I think our default way of thinking in order to have a successful or fun holiday season, we feel like we need to spend lots of money. It's almost been ingrained in us culturally.
Yeah, that's how we do it in America. We buy our vinegar and we also buy all of our gifts.
Exactly. And we buy more than we need.
Yes.
And it's like we feel like we need to have just a ton of presents under the tree or, you know, wherever you put them in your house. And they can't be homemade, like you said, or reasonably priced either. They've got to be expensive. They got to be kind of showy. And lots of folks show that they love someone through over-the-top gift giving. And it's even easy, I think, this time of year for money-conscious folks like our listeners, like you and I, even at times, to get caught up in all the spending that happens this time of year. So we wanted to create this episode. We wanted to talk about enjoying the holidays without going overboard because we think there are ways to do it, ways to get creative, and at the same time, ways to really actually enjoy the holidays more if we're a little bit more money conscious over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, and this is especially true, you know, considering the financial positions that a lot of Americans are in after this year, after 2020. You know, stimulus checks back in the spring were nice. Those increased unemployment benefits certainly helped. But a lot of individuals are still without jobs, which means their income has been severely disrupted. As of us recording this episode, initial unemployment claims are down to only 709,000 a week, which is actually good news, but that's still way more than where we were this time last year when it was closer to only 200,000 a week.
Yeah. To say that that's good news is scary,
yeah.
But it is, I guess you're right when you think about where things were, you know, just a handful of months back. And aside from that, the impact that COVID has had on American incomes, on households and what they're able to bring in financially, there's also added health constraints this time of year, which means a lot of families are separate from each other, or at least they're social distancing during their festivities this year. So with a lot of families not being together due to COVID, I think maybe there's an additional temptation to make up for the lack of proximity with increased amount of spending. It's kind of like, well, since I can't be there in person, I'm going to get you something super fancy, something
right.
Really nice.
Yeah, I wish I was there. I can't be there, so let's go ahead and double the Christmas budget this year.
Thinking of you, here's a Tiffany bracelet. You know? I don't know.
That's how you're going to roll with Emily, right?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, good for you, Joel.
Right. but this is totally going to be a budget-busting approach if people do that, if they end up spending more because they can't be nearby their family. And that's not necessarily the best way to show somebody that you love them. And if you spend too much, obviously, it's going to lead to overspending and it could lead to debt as well.
Yeah, and if you're thinking that this isn't really a problem for most folks, you know, let alone you, let's share some stats on holiday debt.
Oh, my favorite. Stats on holiday debt.
Let's do it, man. According to Magnify Money, every year they do a post-holiday debt survey, and they did one of last year's spending. According to that research, Americans racked up an average of $1,325 during the holidays. And I think one of the more interesting things here is that of the consumers who took on that debt, the majority didn't plan on doing so. It just happened, right? And so the reason that we're talking about this today is because it's not good enough to just, you know, hope for the best, to just cross our fingers. We need to change the way that we approach our holiday spending. And so that's our goal for this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, Matt, you mentioned that people didn't have a plan, and that's it just kind of happened, right? That was their excuse at the end of the day when they were interviewed for this survey. And if we don't have a plan to not overspend, the likelihood that we will overspend goes up dramatically.
Right.
And then this debt has a potential to even stick around for years, all in the name of a joyous holiday season, of having a good time during the Christmas holidays or whatever holiday you celebrate this time of year. And in that same debt survey, 15% of folks were only making the minimum payment on the cards that they racked up debt on. Mm. So not only is it going to take longer to pay for all that holiday spending, but you could end up paying massive amounts on interest on the holiday gifts and items you purchased. So it's not just the Tiffany bracelet, but it's a Tiffany bracelet with with a 22% interest rate attached to it.
Ouch, man. And yeah, also, we wanted to mention, you know, that we're referring specifically to Christmas some in the course of this episode. And that's because it tends to be the biggest consumption driver of the holidays this time of year. But when you look at the history of Christmas, it hasn't always been about scoring all the best deals and, you know, getting presents to the max. Not that gifts haven't been a regular part of the holidays for hundreds of years, but you know, the marketing hype has caused us to change much of our perceptions, our kids' expectations about what the holiday should look like. So, you know, just remember that even though overspending and Christmas are massively intertwined these days, it hasn't always been that way, and it doesn't have to be that way for you and, you know, for your family. There are specific ways to change the trajectory of your holiday season, and we've got more on that right after this break.
All right, we're back from the break. We're talking about enjoying the holidays without spending a dime. I don't know why we didn't say penny or nickel, Matt. We went with dime.
Yeah, you don't want to spend a dime.
Exactly. Why did dime become the referenced piece of currency when you're talking about that? I don't know.
Maybe because you can't buy anything these days with a penny or a nickel.
That's true. That's true. A dime, maybe something.
I mean, I know it costs more to produce a penny than a penny is actually worth. And I think it's almost to that point with a nickel.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. So
let's get rid of the penny. Let's get rid of the nickel. Let's start with dimes.
Let's put chips in our wrists and pay with everything that way.
You could. Get you that smartwatch.
You might be going in that direction. But we digress. Let's get back to the topic. We're talking on this episode about not spending any money really when it comes to having an enjoyable holidays. And I think, you know, it's our hope in this episode that what we're talking about will help you to shift and alter the way that you think about the holidays and holiday spending. And it all starts with how intentional you're being with your holiday spending and how you're approaching that with your friends and family. And Matt, I think too, you know, we did say the title of this episode, enjoying the holidays without spending a dime, but it's not like you and I are not spending any money on gifts for the people that we love.
Yeah, we're not taking it that literally.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. So we want you to know that too, that it's not like we're saying don't spend anything on gifts for anybody. That sounds a little grinchy, actually.
Right. Well, that's the thing. We're not trying to be like bah humbugs here, right? We want people to get into like the spirit. We want folks to have that holiday cheer, but we want them to achieve that with a change in the way that they're thinking about things, not by just throwing a bunch of money at it.
Yeah. I mean, you and I, we're going to spend money on our kids and on our spouses and on a few close family members, and then small gifts for some friends that we love too. But we're going to take a more measured approach, and that's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, one thing to note too is if you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, this episode came a little bit too late. I've already purchased way too much stuff.
I went nuts on Black Friday.
Maybe so. You know, maybe you've already gone overboard. If that's the case, you know, just remember that it's not too late to make some returns. I know that sounds maybe like almost anti-patriotic to say like, go ahead and return those Christmas gifts, but know that you're able to rethink how you can approach gift giving this year. It's a joy to give people we love things that we know that they will love, right? But if it means buying stuff that we can't afford, if it means financing those things, then it becomes a financial burden and it's not worth it. You still got time to cut down on the costs of the holidays by taking things back that you'll potentially be paying off for much of 2021.
Yeah, you don't want to be a negative part of Magnify Money's survey next year,
right?
Right, that you're in way too much debt after the holidays.
Don't become a statistic.
And it's just not worth it. Like, it is fun. I understand the joy and the fun of spending money and buying somebody the perfect gift. But again, yeah, if it leaves you with months and months of regret afterwards, it's not worth that moment of joy. And Matt, there are ways too to give gifts without spending much money at all or any money. Gift giving is one of the major challenges of enjoying the holidays without spending a dime, right? Challenging yourself to give gifts that don't cost any money challenges you to get creative. How creative can you be? And giving the gift of your time, Matt and I think, is one really meaningful way to do this in order to not spend any money, but to give quality time to someone that you love instead, right? For some folks, this could be as simple as a one-on-one day that you spend with a sibling doing something that they love to do, or a double date with you and your partner and your parents, right? At the end of the day, though, relationships are better and more important than physical gifts. And so giving that gift of time can actually be even more meaningful than giving someone like an actual item that you've purchased that they would enjoy too.
Yeah, you know, along that same train of thought, you know, giving a voucher or a coupon for a task or chore that needs to be done is also a way to not spend any money. Specifically, think through some tasks I think that you specifically are good at, you know, or even chores that only you can get done.
I really appreciate the voucher you just gave me, Matt, for cleaning our toilets. That was so nice of you.
As you've proven, that's something that you are incapable of. But maybe this is helping a parent go through and organize as their photo library on their computer, right? Like something that's kind of technology related might be kind of a way to think about it. Or another example I'm thinking of is maybe fixing something that is broken that happens to be driving your spouse or your partner crazy. So for instance, Joel, I've got a little story for you. Kate's got this 15-inch cast iron skillet, right? I mean, it's huge. We cook everything on there. And she recently got this glass lid that goes on top of it with this tiny little knob handle in the middle for this giant 15-inch pan. Well, it stripped out. The screw came out of it and we were no longer able to use it. So we were like, oh, we sent it back thinking maybe it was a manufacturer defect. They sent us a new one. A few days later, same stinking thing happened. It's just poorly designed. And so instead of going through the entire return process again, I thought, you know what? I bet I could make my own handle for this thing. And so I found some scrap wood that we had down in the basement, made some cuts, sanded it out so it was nice and smooth, and kind of ran a screw up in there, oiled it, you know, so it was nice and pretty. Dude, that thing works so well. And that's something that Kate, she couldn't have even purchased something like that. And it's something I was like, I'm not a woodworker, but I was handy enough to make some cuts and find a way to solve a problem that made her life, I mean, significantly better, in particular when it comes to using that lid. And so in our case, that's something that I was able to kind of step in and provide. Literally didn't cost me anything because I just used scrap wood and found some screws that we had laying around in my screw drawer down in the basement, down there where we keep the bikes. But that's the kind of creative problem solving that I want to point people towards, and it didn't cost anything.
They say the best businesses are started when somebody sees a pain point and they want to relieve it.
Yes.
By creating something.
I love that.
And maybe the best gift is found by seeing a pain point in someone that you love's life and then finding a way to help resolve that. And oftentimes you're right. I think it can be free or incredibly inexpensive in order to make that happen. But let's talk about another way that somebody could use their time in order to give a gift. And I'm thinking of maybe like parents who are wanting their attic cleared out because there's so much junk in there. And they have a hard time going through some of that stuff on their own. And you could help them do that. Stuff's been sitting around maybe for decades. They're afraid of tossing it out because of sentimental reasons. And then you, as their grown-up child, you can actually help them cull their possessions. And you know what? I'll say too, it's going to help you on the end one of these days. Or maybe it's even...
keep you from having to move that stuff one of these days.
Exactly.
When they move houses.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe it's even your parents who own boxes of stuff that are keeping around in case you might want it. Instead of avoiding that conversation, maybe this is the year that you tackle that stuff, right? And you decide to give some away, you find the things that you want to keep, but that gets rid of a headache for your parents, right? And this could be especially helpful if all that stuff is sitting in storage, costing them money, right? I think, 10% of households rent a self-storage facility, and the average cost of that is like just under $100 a month. So you could save your parents money and solve a problem in their lives just through a little bit of time. It doesn't actually cost you any money in order to give that gift.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, while we're kind of talking about coupons and vouchers, that kind of thing, of course, kids creating certificates of some special chore.
Been there, done that.
That they could do around the house that's like a classic, right? And so, like, as a parent, avoid going out with your kid and spending an afternoon wandering around a department store or, you know, sitting down on the computer and kind of clicking through Amazon or whatnot, where you're helping them to, like, pick out a gift for your partner, you know, that might just end up being a total waste of money. Instead, take a more thoughtful approach. Help them to create one of these coupons. You know, these can be as simple as, like, here are 5 vouchers to Windex all the windows in the house. You know, these can just be one-time tasks and then it's over. But it could also involve, like, ongoing behavior and chores that a kid would be responsible for indefinitely. You know, Joel, you mentioned these pain points a second ago. But, like, sit down and challenge your kids to maybe think through some of these pain points. Ask yourself, what are some areas that make life difficult that you could, you know, both sit down and figure out a solution for? I'm thinking in our house, like, laundry is just a terrible ongoing problem. We've got 3 girls and they all love to constantly change their clothes, and their dirty clothes end up on the floor in their room or out in the hallway, basically all over the place. And so if I was able to sit down with them and we kind of formulated this plan and we kind of, you know, quote unquote, gifted that to Kate, I think that would be basically like the gift of the decade, because it's something that she would appreciate so much, because so much of her time, in particular when you're virtual schooling and you're kind of managing the kids at home, which Kate does, but so much of your time is just spent making sure the house is like staying together. And I mean, it's an incredibly hard task. I don't envy her at all. But if we were able to figure out a solution to that problem, I think that's something that Kate would really like.
Yeah, no, I think she would too. You're right.
And now that I've said it out loud, I'm pretty sure I have to actually follow through and do this now.
You're pot committed, buddy. Yeah, you got to make that happen. I think that is the kind of creative thinking that really needs to go into gift giving. And you're right. I think you can actually give somebody a gift that they didn't ask for, but that far exceeds any expectations that they had for what they might receive based on creativity and a little bit of time. And of course, too, when you spend your time in order to try to enjoy the holidays, it's not just about gifts for your family, but there is also a lot of joy that comes from serving others this time of year, particularly people that are going through a hardship. And Matt, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the statistics. I think 1 out of 5 American families has had to go to a food pantry at some point since the pandemic started. So there are a lot of people in need, in particular right now in our country. And serving together with the people you love is a great way to enjoy each other while also providing some of that much needed assistance that nonprofits out there are looking for, and maybe even your neighbor or people nearby where you live are in need of.
Yeah, you can make a meal for that elderly neighbor, right? Or maybe it's volunteering at a soup kitchen or participating in a coat drive for the homeless. You could even deliver them yourself and have that actually be an activity, something that that you look forward to doing around the holidays. You know, but serving others is key to feeling the holiday spirit without spending much money. So, Joel, these are some different ways how we can spend our time, right? But we've got some more ideas for ways to enjoy the holidays for free, ways that involve a little bit of creativity and how it is that we approach different activities. And we'll get to those right after this break. All right, Joel, we are back and we're talking about ways to enjoy the holidays without spending a dime. And, you know, at the core of discovering these, you know, free and kind of creative things that we can do to enjoy the holidays, really at the core of this is the ability to bring us together in order to kind of ramp up and build these relationships, right? Like, we're talking about togetherness here. And the things that we're going to continue to recommend, like, they're not groundbreaking, you know, but with a little bit of kind of creativity and intentionality, you can make what might have been otherwise an ordinary holiday activity super special. I think it really does all come down to just your approach and being intentional with your time and how you're approaching these things.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. And one of the things that our family loves to do, we love to, and just like a lot of other families, go around, drive around in your car and look at Christmas lights. Who doesn't love that, right? There's this this one house we have to go by multiple times every year that's close to where my parents live, and they just go, I mean, to an absurd level, the amount of lights they use, I would like to know, and I would like to know what their electricity bill is, because it gets a little insane.
But you probably don't want to know it. It'd make you cry.
Right.
You might feel that, like, I can no longer support this. I'm sorry, people.
They do have, like, a little donation box there.
Oh, do they really?
Which is great. And
oh, that is good.
They deserve it because they bring a lot of cheer. We'll just sit there for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, you know, a couple of nights out of the year, and just watch their lights because they're incredible.
Oh, that's awesome. Or, and not even a donation, too, but, like, maybe even, like, writing a thank you note and, yeah, like, kind of tying it to a candy cane, like, that sort of, like, something kind of creative like that where they can feel some appreciation for what they're bringing to the neighborhood.
No, I asked them. They said they want cash.
Actual, so. Yeah, hard. Hard money, please.
They got to pay that electricity bill, buddy.
No pennies and nickels either. Like, let's start with dimes.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, if you love looking at Christmas lights as much as we do, there's a website called ChristmasLightFinder.com, and you can find some displays at least near you, or just drive around to neighborhoods, especially ones that seem to make exterior holiday decorating a big priority. Matt, you know, where we live on our street, Halloween lights are the big deal, decorating for Halloween. Christmas, not quite as much.
You can change that, though.
It
all comes down to you.
I can be the Clark Griswold in this situation and change the dynamic. But yeah, finding the neighborhoods that do really get into the holiday spirit and have the lights up and stuff like that, find those neighborhoods. Ask some other people, where do you go to hunt for Christmas lights? Where are the best places to check it out? But yeah, that's such a fun experience, just hunting for Christmas lights. It's like a experience that costs as much as, you know, a couple gallons of gas at most, and it brings a lot of joy.
Or you can throw those kids on the electric bike, man.
That's true.
Bike around. You don't need a driver around.
Depends on how far you're going, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Your parents do live further away than you could probably bike to.
With
the kids in December, at least. Man, something else that we're big fans of are Christmas movies. You can have a free Christmas movie night. I think our girl started watching Christmas movies in October. But It's a Wonderful Life is free if you've got Prime Video. Home Alone is on Disney Plus. So is Nightmare Before Christmas. But if you don't have those, remember that you can do a free trial if you don't already pay for those. And there are some solid holiday movies available on Netflix too. And also, man, don't forget some of those different free streaming sites, you know, like obviously YouTube, but check out Tubi, the Roku channel, and Vudu as well. We'll make sure to put a couple of links in our show notes that will help you to track down some of those solid streaming options. We recently looked up Elf because the girls are like obsessed with that movie. It's just fun to kind of go back and watch some of these fun movies like through your kids' eyes as well, which is, I don't know, that definitely brings me a lot of joy. But like that's one where we're going to have to like maybe do like a free trial of Stars, like that kind of premium add-on.
I thought I saw that one on the Roku channel maybe.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I need to go looking.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, there's some really bad ones out there too, actually.
Oh my gosh. In like doing a little looking around to see like what holiday movies are out there, I was like, oh, 95% of them look terrible.
Like all the ones on like the Lifetime channel, which are, they all have the same premise. It's always about like somebody in the big city going to like a small rural town and really rediscovering the true meaning of Christmas.
I think maybe one of the worst Christmas movies ever made, Christmas Shoes. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay, it's based on a song and then they turned it into like I think it was a Hallmark Channel movie or something.
Oh my gosh.
Rob Lowe. I don't encourage it, but I don't know. If anybody out there loves it, I'm sorry. Sorry for bursting your Christmas bubble.
Not one of the high points in Rob Lowe's career.
No, it wasn't.
What's your favorite Christmas movie, by the way? Do you have one?
It's a Wonderful Life is up there. I cry every time I watch
really?
It, too. Yeah.
It's been years since I've seen that. I need to, yeah. But we've been watching so much Elf, I don't have time on my schedule for old Jimmy Stewart.
it's a classic. As the kids get older, got to share it with them.
Yeah.
Another fun, kind of helpful idea that could bring the family together this time of year to have a good bit of fun is hosting a family talent show or a family karaoke night, right? You don't even have to have a fancy setup in order to make this happen. YouTube is ripe with karaoke songs. It's easy to find what you want to sing and then just go to town.
You search any song and karaoke.
Yeah.
And you'll find it.
You'll find it. And then pull out your laptop, make it happen, get the kids together, or what? Even just do it with your significant other or your parents. Like whoever you are potting with or hanging out with, do a karaoke night. It'll be a ton of fun.
It makes me think of our friend Andrew. So every year he hosts a Hanukkah party, and karaoke is a massive part of that party every year. Unfortunately, obviously not going to be having it this year. But yeah, it's just a laptop pulled up, plugged into a speaker with some microphones. And yeah, every single time you just search whatever song you're looking for, plus karaoke, and you got the words, man, ready to go.
Easy to do. Also, two board games with some hot cocoa. I mean, that's a good way to have some fun as well. Pull out some board games that you haven't played in quite a while. You already own them. You don't have to spend any money to buy new ones, but just break out the board games or a card game that you haven't played in a while and make some meaningful memories just playing games together.
Man, something else we've been doing together too as a family is like we always keep our previous year's Christmas cards. And so we've kind of gotten into this tradition of when we pull out the Christmas decorations, we've got all the previous year's Christmas cards all kind of bound together. And we like to flip through those, kind of look at how our friends have aged or some well, some not so well.
Not a good year for Jim.
And it's just fun to see, you know, kids, obviously, as they grew up as well in the pictures. But, man, something else I wanted to mention, too, like we just kind of touched on our friend's Hanukkah party. Don't forget about the religious significance and meaning behind the specific holiday that you celebrate, right? And so whether you celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah, you don't have to spend a lot of money or any money at all to celebrate these holidays. And so I think keeping that kind of forefront in your mind, that can be a great way not only to anchor you to the true reason that we do have these celebrations, but it can also keep you from spending a ton of money as well.
Yeah, Matt, for sure. And you know, you mentioned how our annual Hanukkah party is not happening this year. Everybody in our friend circle is super bummed. It's one of the most fun things we usually get to do this time of year. But everyone is experiencing a dearth of Christmas parties for the first time ever. You know, usually there's 3, 4, 5, depending on if you have a work one or you know, one that your friends do or your family does. Holiday parties are part of the season and they're a ton of fun. But if you're finding yourself missing the fact that you don't have any to go to this year, start your own. Create your own. It's going to be obviously on a much smaller scale, but put on your ugly sweater and make some mulled wine and live it up with the people closest to you. And if you want to have more people over, well, then you know you can have an outdoor fire pit.
Actually did that last night.
Yeah, we've been doing more of that this time of year. And you know, I turned picking up sticks in the backyard into like a it'll be fun because we get to have a fire pit with the kids. And so it turns like a chore into a fun activity. But yeah, then you can actually have maybe a few close friends over too, hanging outside around a fire pit. But yeah, throwing your own own socially distanced outdoor holiday party can still happen. And so, yeah, you got to just be creative this time of year in order to be able to enjoy it and celebrate it to the fullest.
Yeah, man. And ultimately, you know, we think that money can be more of a barrier to enjoying the holidays than a facilitator or even the reason that we're having a lot of fun. Obviously, budgeting for your gift giving and keeping your recipient list small certainly helps a lot. But we would challenge folks to really get creative and intentional with the activities that you're going to be partaking in this holiday season and continuing to think of ways that you can serve others this time of year. You know, by doing that, we think that you'll probably find that this Christmas will be one with maybe even more joy and fulfillment than you would have otherwise expected. Joel, even as you're talking about how there's a lack of Christmas parties to go to, it's interesting how like the emotion I noted in myself when you mentioned that was that I thought, oh, like I felt kind of stressed to leave my body because typically, man, December is one of the busiest months of the year.
The calendar is totally full.
Is slammed and there's kids' school performances and just all sorts of things that you know, that we're supposed to be a part of. And it really does add a lot of stress. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how I feel as these weeks continue and as we reach the end of the month. Am I going to feel like that, oh, there wasn't enough going on? Or is this going to be one of the many ways in our lives that we've been able to slow down and really truly focus on what it is that's important in our lives versus the frantic running around and continuing, you know, to do the things that we always do because it's, you know, either tradition or it's what's expected. I guess this is a small silver lining to the pandemic, but I really am excited to see how this holiday season, how it'll be different for a lot of folks.
Yeah. I never thought I'd ever use the phrase pandemic silver lining, but
we've used it before.
We've used it
but
now.
But certainly in relation to the holidays, it almost seems kind of like, how could you say that? You know?
Right. But I think, yeah, there is a silver lining here and it is slowing down. It is a calendar that isn't quite as packed and there's more time to actually be intentional and think through what you want your holidays to look like this year instead of letting the holidays happen to you, which is what happens to so many of us most of the time.
Exactly.
But yeah, we wish you the best in your creative endeavors to make this holiday just incredibly enjoyable. And just remember, it doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money. And actually, you're going to be more relieved come January if it doesn't. All right, Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on today's show. This one's called Owl Theory, and it's by Fieldwork Brewing Company. What are your thoughts on this beer, man?
Yeah, man, this is a Czech dark lager, like Czech as in from the Czech Republic. Is it Czechoslovakia or is it the Czech Republic?
I think it's the Czech Republic. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not big on world history.
Or geography.
I know it's in Europe, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, phew.
But I do know my beer, and this beer, man, it was really good. You could really taste some of that roasted malt flavor. I feel like one of the ways to describe it is if you took a slice of whole wheat bread and you toasted it, like maybe a touch too long, right?
Yeah.
And so like it was just like a really dark toasted sort of flavor going on. But at the same time, it had a really light body, right? So this is a lager. It's not a really thick, heavy-bodied beer. And so you know it's not a stout. You know it's not a porter. But it still has those deeper, darker roasted flavors while finishing really clean, really light. So I feel like it makes it kind of a fun beer to drink this time of year because, I don't know, you kind of want some of those darker flavors, but at the same time, this isn't the kind of beer that really just weighs you down like eggnog, you know?
Right, yeah. And I feel like I don't have much to add to the description because I think you did such a good job there. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think it was kind of bordering on porter territory, but not quite there.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoyed it more than a porter. You know, porters are okay in my book. I really like a good
You really
stout.
Want it to go ahead and be a stout.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If you hit porter territory, it's like, just finish the drill and become a stout.
Go all the way to stout or stay in this Czech dark lager territory because yeah. I really, really like this one a lot. It was delicious, had those roasty notes without being overpowering and without feeling like it was lacking anything. So this one was delicious. Big thanks to our friend Tim for sending this beer our way.
Yeah, Tim sent this beer as well as the beer from Monday from one of his favorite breweries out there in Napa. He lives out in California. And you and I, we actually participated in that webinar where we talked about personal finance.
At least he didn't ask us to talk about world geography, right?
Where is the Czech Republic? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I could not find it on a map, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it was something we really enjoyed doing, that webinar. And so if you're listening and that's something that you are a part of putting together, maybe for your company or organization, go to howtomoney.com/speak. And yeah, reach out to us. It's something that Joel and I would love to talk to you about.
All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. For folks that want the show notes and the links to everything we talked about today on this episode, they can go to howtomoney.com.
Yeah, that's right. And if you've been listening and you enjoy our show, we would love it if you left us a review over at Apple Podcasts. Just head over there. Maybe you've already done that. And if so, let a friend or family member know about it. We would love to have more people on board listening how they can handle their money better.
Yeah, it'd be the best holiday gift you could give these two guys. A review, letting somebody else know, like spreading the message about getting your personal finances in order.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, buddy. Best friends out.
Best friends out.